What's up? This is Mr. Steels, and when I drink my coffee in the morning, I listen to the Ralph William podcast.
Man, there's something to be said about our state of affairs now in the world. You know, it's funny how, now I don't know, when you're a kid, right? When I was a kid, and kids nowadays, there's not much that we really like paid attention to when it came to politics, right? We pretty much didn't know any better. They were just, we were learning what they feed us, you know, what we learn in school. But in terms of like everyday things, everyday life, politics didn't really register. Like, I don't know if this is, now I don't know if I noticed this because I'm older, but, and when you get older, you know, you tend to look at life or things or just have, you know, you look at things in a more experienced lens, or you just could be the product of, you know, I don't want to say brainwashing, but just a product of what you've experienced throughout your life, right? Like what you're into. And now it feels like everything in society is weaved in some way with politics, right? And I never thought that it would get into something that I enjoy almost, you know, the most, right? I mean, music is another thing that I enjoy. And music has always had some political undertones, right? Some patriotic, some anti-establishment, right? This has been a thing, you know, for so long, right? There's always been a rebellious side to music. You know, you can even go as, well, I'm going off of bad memory, so you can go as far back as, probably, well, I'm not going to say, because I can't be accurate, but I'm thinking, you know, certain individuals would probably do music or make music out of a way out of their situation, changing their perception of a situation. This music that's been used to where you know not the crazy turn the record and press rewind and you'll hear the devil type of, no, I mean like hidden messages in music to give a code or to give some underlying, you know, directions to people, you know. A lot of subliminal messaging in music. And there's always been like that with music, right? No. Ralph, what are you talking about, man? You're jamming on. All right. Well, I'm going to be talking about other things today, but I never thought that coffee could be politicized. Yes, you heard me right. You heard me right. Coffee has become politicized, and I mean, come on now. You know, everybody remember, and I'm surprised there hasn't been, or maybe it has. I haven't dove into it, right? But the cancel culture that is in the world today, right? Like, I've seen a lot of cancel cultures take and change a lot of branding. Whatever happened to Juan Valdez, right, on the coffee can? Was that, did they ever have any, is it a Spanish community or Colombian community, like, upset of that, you know, image? How come that hasn't a problem? I mean, why doesn't that have a problem, right? Juan Valdez. So, and that's the only thing that comes to mind right now. I can't think of any other, because people here in America, I mean, well, maybe not a lot of people, but for me, I only knew. Well, first of all, I wasn't into coffee, like, you know, I'm not a connoisseur, you know, of coffee. Like, I enjoy it a lot, but it's not like I can break down the temperatures or the right formula or the best way to make espresso or the machine or the beans, the ripe, you know, the what ripe way to pick them, you know, things like that. Things, I just know that I enjoy a good cup of coffee. Now, so far, there's two brands that stick out to me, right? And I might be adding a third, mainly because for the aroma and the taste, and because of, I don't want to say consistency, but what is it? Legacy or experience, or just, I've been doing it for so long that anything else that I've tried, I don't like, right? So the first one, which I've known for years, my father, who's not with us anymore, was Cuban. And he would always, since the age, how old was I? Man, I want to say since the age of 5 or 6, maybe 7, you know, I've drank in coffee. He would take me to, you know, when he would take me to school in the morning, we would always stop at this Cuban bakery. And he would give me, I would have, which is probably why I eat this to this day, a bread with butter and a cup of coffee. That's like the cube. Well, there's a lot of different Cuban breakfasts, but that's a Cuban breakfast that I've, you know, had for so long. There's nothing like taking a good handful of toasted Cuban bread with butter on it and dunking it in your coffee. It's a delicious thing to have in the morning for me. You know, it's not until the more and more I, because my mother is Guatemalan, right? So I'm part Cuban and Guatemalan. I've had a little bit of both worlds, right? More Guatemalan than Cuban, but Cuban nonetheless. So I would incorporate beans. You know, that comes for a lot from the Guatemalan side, at least in my family anyway. So nothing like a good plate of beans, you know, a good roll of bread toasted with some butter on it. You can dunk it with your nice hot cup of coffee. Yeah, I'm rambling on. So what I meant to say is I'm used to the espressos, right? Espresso coffee and the brand called Bustelo. Bustelo and there's another brand, I forgot the name of it, that a lot of Cubans and a lot of Cuban restaurants would use to to make that espresso. The Bustelo, for some reason, it has a great smell. It's very refined, you know, when it's grounded up. You know, it's very, very, feels kind of very flaky, you know, things like that. So I would sometimes not only use it as an espresso, but I would use it also in my regular coffee drip machine, right? So after that, I'm just giving you little stages. Like after that, there were different kinds of coffee that I've tried. Maxwell House, you know, it's something that I don't mind having. Like, I'm not that much of a snob when it comes to coffee, but it's not my preference, right? So Maxwell House is not my thing. Now, my brother's wife, who's Colombian, swears by and only buys, from what I remember, right, only buys Folgers Colombian. And that's when I started to notice like a preference, like damn, after, you know, having a Maxwell House, I would prefer having this Folgers Colombian, which, if you remember from any of my shows, like I always say, I'm having a Folgers Colombian coffee, you know, a Folgers Colombian coffee with some Silk almond milk coffee creamer. Now thanks to the old man from the old man's podcast show, I've grown to enjoy Black Rifle coffee, especially when you learn freshly ground, you know, it's very aromatic, it smells good, it tastes good too. Now, the one thing that bothers me is I thought that I can see politics in television. I can see politics in music. I see politics in movies. I see politics in podcasts. Politics in friendships, families, churches, but not coffee. Why is it in coffee? All right. I'm rambling on. All right. So I came across this YouTube video out of, you know, chance. I forgot what I was looking for. But it has something to do with Black Rifle Coffee. And to my, like, I don't know why I'm surprised, right? Black Rifle Coffee, something that is marketed as veteran-owned, helps out veterans. They were getting some slack from what I didn't even notice it. Like I wasn't even paying attention. I wasn't even into Black Rifle Coffee. And this is not trying to knock Black Rifle Coffee, is to, you know, bring it to light, because now I'm trying to see what is the real underlying issue here. But the main theme is why coffee has to be politicized, and it's become politicized because, as you'll hear from this video, I'm going to paraphrase it, is that there's been some I don't know if these allegations are legit, or maybe they are. It seems like the CEO of Black Rifle Coffee has been aligning his pockets with a lot of money while the company is supposedly losing money. And then they had some bad press with Kyle Rittenhouse because he was wearing a Black Rifle shirt when he was released on bail or something like that. And I'm like, why does that matter? I mean, why? Just because someone is repping now, so this is what becomes a problem. This is, and my father, now, and I've said this to people before, and now I understand why I get it, where I got it from. My father would tell me this all the time, and I don't know if this is because of his upbringing in a communist country, but he would, you know, I would ask, like, maybe I wanted a shirt or you know, I would get him something with a, you know, a shirt with some type of branding on it or something. And he would tell me, why would I want to be a walking billboard for someone else? And I never understood that. Like, well, I mean, I understood that point, but now I'm looking at it a different lens, because now it doesn't matter what you wear. And this is the way I was brought, not the way I was brought up. This was my thinking. Like, everyone else wanted me to, like, hey, why don't you change your clothes? You're always wearing the same type of clothes, you know, the same colors. You don't wear anything, like, no fancy shoes, you know, what do you call it? Name brand or repping the new, whatever the new fashion thing is. And it was because, like, first of all, I'd never believed in wasting money on things like that just to look like you belonged, right, to other people. Like, that wasn't my thing. And second, of course, I didn't afford it, but now I see that it can get you in trouble, right? Not to mention back in the day when I was growing up, maybe even now, most likely more now, right? Like, kids that would wear Jordans back in the day, you know, or even expensive, I don't know, was FUBU expensive? Or Kalkanai? Some people will remember those. Nikes, Reeboks, anyway. Kids would get robbed for their sneakers, right? Because, you know, they could afford and pay for them things. Now, if you're not rocking, you know, I'm trying to pick my words correctly here to not. If you're not, let's say Ukraine. That's the safest thing I can pick right now. If you're not wearing a Ukraine shirt, right, to rep Ukraine, then you are you're against you know, the Ukrainians, you know, not to mention and for you not to care about what's going on here. It's all about people in Ukraine, right? So unfortunately, because Kyle Rittenhouse was wearing a Black Rifle shirt, Black Rifle has gotten some bad press over it. And then we have, I guess, a stockholder or somebody with stocks in Black Rifle Company or works for the company. I'm not sure. I'll play the video soon, the clip soon, from this YouTuber that the CEO has been lining his pockets up with money while the company is going, not going under, but losing. And not giving back to and accusing the CEO of working for the or donating or giving money to the Democratic Party while you know, not aligning the company's name to more a conservative. To the conservative customers, right? And he had a problem with calling or saying something about racist buyers of Black Rifle coffee. And he got some backlash over it because they're saying that all conservatives are racist, which... if you don't know that by now, you'll never know that. But it's the main point is that why is my coffee being politicized? I just want to enjoy a good cup of coffee, and I don't know I don't know the legitimacy of this, and this is a video that I saw, and it was posted 3 weeks ago, so I'm going to be seeing what's going on. I want to know if anybody knows. Let me know on Twitter. Send me a DM at the Ralph William on Twitter. But I want to know what's the update on this, because now they're saying that, well, the conservative people are saying that the CEO of the company is not aligned with the Second Amendment people. So that's just what I'm saying, is why is it being politicized, my coffee? And I thought it was going for a good thing. Apparently, according to this video, it might not be going to the veterans that I thought. And this is not, and I'm not trying to, you know, as a spread a negative campaign towards them. I could have just been quiet about it and not mentioned it. But I wanted to bring it to light, because at least, you know, the people that are under the CEO, right, from what I gather from this clip, wants to keep the company based on its foundation, right? And this is what happens with a lot of companies, where this is where it depends on perception. Other people would perceive it as greed, and some other people would perceive it as, you know, the grabbing of opportunity, right? You're grabbing an opportunity for longevity. You know, that would be my mindset. Like, if you have your own business, right, and you're struggling and you're trying to, and you want to keep your foundations correct, right? But there's something over here that's like, will boost things up. Now, I'm not trying to like sugarcoat whatever this guy did. I don't know the whole ins and outs of it, right? But, you know, the one thing that will kill his reputation and the company is if the proceeds or the profits or whatever does not go to who it says is supposed to go to, and that's the veterans, because that's the main point why people support Black Rifle Coffee. That's the only reason why I would, right? I would, and this is no offense to those that call and look for pledges, right? But I would rather support this company because you get an actual product in return, right? Like, you get something that you enjoy, something that you can consume, and it's good, you know? And it smells, it tastes good. There's a lot of products that they have on their website that you can use. But if the proceeds are not going to where it's supposed to, then that's the downfall of this company. Or there's going to be calling for a switch in the leadership. You know, sometimes people have to get checked sometimes to get to remember the reason why they're doing things, the reasons, you know, for who they're doing it for, right? Sometimes I have to check myself. Sometimes I usually when I do in doing a podcast or a show or the internet station or whatever, you know, I always try and tell myself, like, look, this is, you want to bring a good level of professionalism to what you're doing. Don't get lazy with it in terms of quality, but always have it in your mind that your personal life comes first. And when I mean personal, I mean like the people that are closest to you, your family, you know. If there's something else that needs to be attended to, that has to do with the people that are closest to you, you tend to that first before this, right? Because this is something that I enjoy doing. This is something that I would love to get paid for and make money out of and make a difference in the world, right, with this. But I'm not going to be one of those people that have to say, man, I sacrificed a lot to make this work. You know, I sacrificed, you know, my family. I sacrificed my loved ones. I sacrificed my wife, my husband, my kids. That's not me. As much as I want to be that, that's not me. Right? I can't do that. If it has to do with those that have stuck by me since the beginning and something that I just started or something that I, you know, I'm going to choose them, right? But anyway, I'm losing out of time. Sorry, guys. This is one of those off-the-cuff shows. You know, I usually try and keep things planned in order. And now I'm just, I need to just come out and just talk like this and go on a little rant. But here's the clip of this YouTuber, and I'll let you know who it is after, talking about this Black Rifle Coffee Company debacle. Gee.
Sales. So now that everything is on the table, let's talk about Black Rifle Coffee Company and the road that has led to this recent concerning letter and lawsuit. Many in the Second Amendment community have increasingly become concerned about the activities of Black Rifle because of two main situations. The first was the major blowout in regards to Kyle Rittenhouse. As many of you may recall, in November of 2020, Kyle Rittenhouse made bail. In his first picture after making bail, he was seen wearing a Black Rifle Coffee Company shirt. One of the ambassadors of the company retweeted that picture of Kyle wearing the shirt and then put his personal affiliate link to Black Rifle Coffee on that tweet. And that is really where all the storm and issues with Black Rifle started. Subsequent to that tweet, various companies and news sources started to attack Black Rifle for sponsoring Kyle. In my prior discussions with Evan, he also mentioned they started to receive calls from their vendors, distributors, and even their bank about pulling the plug on them because of the picture, which was indicating that Kyle was sponsored by the company. Because of this and the pressure, Black Rifle Coffee decided to put out a statement. In the original statement, they stated that, "We do not support legal advocacy efforts. We do not support, nor do we have a relationship with the 17-year-old facing charges in Kenosha. We believe in the integrity of the legal justice system and support law enforcement officials." Essentially, Black Rifle was trying to distance themselves from the claims that they were sponsoring or even supporting Kyle. Well, the statements that were distancing themselves really upset a lot of people on the Second Amendment side. There were also concerns about prior donations to liberal candidates by Evan Hafer, who again is the CEO, which brought concerns that the claimed right-leaning company was really supporting the other side. Now, all of that was big news for a while, but eventually it died down. But later, a new issue popped up, and that was the interview the company did with the New York Times. When the article came out, there were many statements from Evan and others in the company that again raised a lot of concerns. Now, I'm not going to cover all the things that were stated within the article or came up in the article, but I think there was one main thing that upset a lot of people. That was the comments about some of their customers that they lost during that first incident in relation to Kyle Rittenhouse. So here's some of the language that came out of this article. "The racism really pisses me off," Hafer said. "I hate racist, proud, boyish people. Like, I'll pay them to leave my customer base. I would gladly chop all of those people out of my customer database and pay them to get the bleep out." From that discussion, many people got the impression that Black Rifle was attacking many in their conservative customer base and playing into liberal narratives about their own customers. In contrast, Black Rifle came out after those statements and clarified that they were not claiming all conservatives were this way, but instead were simply saying that they don't support racism regardless of political party. Again, all of that eventually blew over, but the company again lost a lot of customers. Then earlier this year, the company announced that they were going to go public. Well, now we have some more bad news coming out that a lawsuit has been filed against the company for fraud, and a large shareholder is specifically calling out Evan Hafer in a letter. So let me point out some of the accusations that were made in the letter, and I will link to the full letter down below if you want to read it for yourself. The letter states, "Dear Mr. Evan Hafer, I regrettably must communicate with you via this public forum because as of recently, it appears you have decided to cease all communications with us. 1791 Management LLC, 1791, manages certain entities that hold Black Rifle Coffee Company shares. Please do not confuse our stake as a vote of confidence in the company's leadership. On the contrary, in just 3 months of being a public company, in our opinion, you have caused significant harm to your shareholders and military veterans. It is our belief that you may be one of the most dangerous CEOs in America. We have conducted a thorough review of your company, including actions by management and reviews of your SEC filings. Combining this with our numerous conversations with Black Rifle lawyers and executives, we have uncovered what we believe to be the most harrowing strategy to line your pockets at the expense of others. And yes, Chief Legal Counsel and Corporate Secretary Mr. Andrew McCormick, it was us on the phone as you cavalierly described what we would consider a plan to screw over your public shareholders as set forth in more detail below. It is our conclusion that your profiteering at the expense of Americans under the guise of helping military veterans reveals your shameless disregard for our most honorable citizens. Furthermore, we believe your actions as CEO reveals a pattern of gross negligence and dereliction of duty that can expose the company to a tsunami of litigation, which we believe your public shareholders deserve to be made aware of. Are we really to believe that Black Rifle's recent meteoric stock price rise and ultimate collapse were just natural forces of the collective judgment of Black Rifle's business prospects? We suspect the answer is obvious and is a result from your willful conduct designed to defraud investors by interfering with free market forces. It is our belief that you intentionally kept the available shares of Black Rifle stock artificially low, resulting in a squeeze, so you could issue exempted stock to yourself during this period. The letter then goes on to say that Black Rifle breached their contract by not filing paperwork within a required 15-day period. They also claim in the letter that on March 29th, Evan Hafer awarded himself 2,106,692 shares of Black Rifle common units by filing an exempt registration statement, which made him about $42 million. They then go on to point out that on April 19th, Evan awarded himself more shares, 2 million more shares, and this ultimately resulted in him getting an additional $47 million. 1791 claims this tactic was fraudulent conduct on the part of Evan Hafer and potentially others within the company. 1791 goes on to state in the letter that just in case you hadn't noticed Mr. Hafer, Black Rifle lost $4.8 billion in value from $7.3 billion down to $2.5 billion over the 3 months period that you made tens of millions off your own stock. 1791 demanded in the letter that the company prepare an action plan to address the serious violations of Black Rifle's own conflict of interest. And then they close the letter by stating, "What I am about to say may seem a bit harsh, Mr. Hafer, but is said with some authority. If you don't plan on responding to my letter and or promptly preparing an action plan, then I believe it's best you wind down Black Rifle Coffee, return what public money is left on the company's balance sheet, and retreat to whatever bunker you came out of to do what you do best, donate money to the Democratic Party and smear conservatives as racist. The irreparable damage I believe your greed likely caused shareholders will never be repaid. We and veterans like my father, former customers and shareholders, must hold you accountable for any further exploitation of Americans for your personal gain. Yours very truly, Jonathan Wallentine." I looked up the author of this letter and his bio stated that he's a mathematician, actuary, finance practitioner. He was a CEO of a company that deals with finance. So again, someone who knows a lot more about this than me, but you can kind of take that with a grain of salt or a grain of sand, whatever. Because again, it seems like there is a personal vendetta that's been kind of reflected in the letter. Now, I did also pull the lawsuit that was filed against Black Rifle, and Black Rifle is being sued for breach of contract, breach of fiduciary duty, promissory fraud, constructive fraud, and for a violation of California's Corporations Code. In the lawsuit, 1791 is seeking damages in the amount that exceeds $5 million, along with punitive damages and interest as well. So again, not a great look for Black Rifle Coffee Company. We will see how this all plays out. We will see how the lawsuit plays out and if there's any validity to what actually happened as far as fraud. I do want to note that this really could just be a disgruntled investor fund or individual investor. I'm not sure, that is just mad about losing a lot of money. I don't know enough about finance or this world to make a judgment call on my own. All I can do is reflect the letter that was sent to Black Rifle and reflect the letter and the lawsuit and the claims that are being alleged against Black Rifle. But again, allegations being made against a company that a lot of people are already really concerned about. So if you guys have any questions, go ahead.
So a lot of things to unpack there, man. And the YouTube channel is called Armed Scholar. So I if you are a big advocate for the Second Amendment, I would recommend you go check out that YouTube channel. And I'm looking at it at a glance, it's pretty much a probably everything and anything that has to do with Second Amendment laws and current events that's happening. So make sure to go check out Armed Scholar on YouTube. I think it's a good one. I subscribed, so it should be some good information there. So, I mean, that's what I'm talking about, man. Why you gotta mess up a good thing? if the CEO was actually doing some naughty things, then yeah, handle that. And make sure whatever was supposed to go to the veterans that didn't go gets there. Because that's the real reason, right? That's the real point of it. You know, there should be a coffee company for everything. For nurses. There's a million-dollar idea, people out there. If you're listening, let them know that I was your muse. And make a nurse's coffee company. Remember when the nurses were the rave about year and a half, 2 years ago? Right? You're our heroes. And now those that don't want to get jabbed, they lost their jobs. Maybe we should make a nurse's coffee company. So that they don't, you know, lose money on the jobs that they got tossed out of. Anyway. All right, so that's actually not a bad idea. Anyway, it should be for all the major professions out there. You want to be a world leading physicist? Have your own coffee company. I don't know, whatever. There's coffee, there's teachers, there's police officers, there's, you know, we have the veterans, we have a fire department. We should make a call. Well, there's a fire department one, I think. I saw that one. But anyway, all right, that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about. I mean, it's pretty crazy how these things happen. That even coffee, I mean, what's next? Breakfast cereals? Remember how Wheaties used to be a thing back in the day? They used to have like people from the Olympics on it, like an American a gold medalist on it. Is that like going to be naughty now? Like, do we need to make a patriotic cereal? Is there a patriotic cereal out there? There's another million-dollar idea. Let's make a patriotic cereal. Gonna call it, what can we call it? Americanos? Nah. Americanos? Not American Jacks? I don't know. I can't even... I'm just being silly now, but hey. Cinnamon Toast Guns? How about Cinnamon Toast Guns? Cinnamon Toast Guns, man. I'm here all week, everybody. I'm here all week. What else? What else can we... instead of honey guns? I don't know. I'm just... But you get the point, right? It's gonna be crazy, man. It's just funny. Not even funny. It's just sad how something like that can be. Well, I mean, what can you expect, right? You know, it's something that has to do with veterans, and there's always something. is going to try and mess that up, try to mess up a good thing. Well, we'll see what happens with this lawsuit. If I find anything out, of course, I'll talk about it. But that's one of the things that I just wanted to get off my chest here, because, damn, coffee? Really? Do we have to stoop that low? Politicized coffee? I feel like I'm going to go to my buddy's house and be like, hey, man, you got any coffee? Sure. But you drink that Black Rifle. I don't think I want your lips on my coffee. Oh, man. All right. Well, anyway, thank you guys for putting up with this. I greatly appreciate it. You're listening to Coffee with RW. We'll be right back.
WESN.
So don't play fair. Come on now.
Get a drummer, son. Get a drummer, son. Fair use, bringing that funky fresh on Sundays, expelling that Holy Ghost exclusively on WESN. Let's get it, folks. Hey! Make sure to download the app at a store near you. WESN, Epic Strategies Network.
Let the bass come in. Let the bass come in. Wanna hear him again?
Fair you.
Let the bass come. I don't believe.
The FU edition.
I don't believe. I don't believe. I don't believe.
CaresNone.com. It's a clothing line. It's a lifestyle. Go to CaresNone.com. Check out their clothing line. It's fantastic. Fantastic. Use code DeGrayArea15 and you get 15% off. That's DeGrayArea15 and you get 15% off. CaresNone.com.
Oh, yeah.
Are you uncertain about what's going on in your life? Or maybe you're trying to help someone else out fix theirs? Then I recommend you go to WholeEShift.com. That's WholeEShift.com. W-H-O-L-E, another E, SHIFT.com, and get yourself a reading from Poetic. She's a Reiki healer and is very experienced in this area. So make sure to go to WholeEShift.com, get yourself a reading today, or you can get it as a gift card and give it to someone who might need it. That's WholeEShift.com. Let them know Ralph William sent you. That's WholeEShift.com.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee?
Coffee with RW.
All right. Yeah, not bad. Yeah,
I'll
get something like that. Struggling for content at the moment.
How are you?
Yeah, I love a few podcasts, but I need more, I think.
Have you tried Epic Strategies Networks, WESN?
No, I haven't.
You should log on. You should log on epicstrategiesnetworks.com.
Okay, is that an internet-based radio station?
That is in the in internet land. It's got a lot of good content on there.
Okay.
It's got substance for days.
Well, there, yeah, so. That's for one. And I'm assuming I can download it as an app as well.
You can.
Awesome.
Works very well.
Sounds great. I'll give it a go.
Good.
Sup, this is Mr. Steels, and when I drink my coffee in the morning, I listen to the Ralph William Podcast.
Ven aquí, tomas un cafecito con Willito. Coffee with RW.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Man, you know how I mentioned the nurses who got fired from their jobs for not taking a jab? Well, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of patriotic companies being made and making a lot of money out there that are willing to hire you, and or you can be a part of a franchise and create your own business. So I'm not sponsored. I just found this on another, outlet, and I figured, why not spread it here? So if you want to start your own business or work for a company and do something that you enjoy doing or you might like doing, who knows? But you do have to do something that you might not like doing. And that's work with dogs. You hate dogs, don't you? You people don't enjoy dogs, man. They they'd rather just not deal with them at all, you know, the maintenance, the training, all that stuff. But anyway, there's a lot of dog lovers out there that might enjoy having a small business or work for someone or have a job having to do just that, dealing with animals, like especially dogs. So here's a clip from, you know, a company that's starting their own franchise that you can be making some serious money, man, and no jab required, you know. You can live, and it's an American company, so why not? Let's get involved, man. I'm just spreading the information. I'm a facilitator of information. So here you go. Let's see what we can muster up here.
Hey, I'm Ryan Wimpy with Tip Top Canine, and I'm the founder.
I'm Rachel Wimpy, and I am a co-founder.
So we've been running Tip Top for about the last 14 years, franchising for the last 3-4 years. So someone that'd be a good fit for Tip Top loves dogs, they're high energy, they want to be able to own their own job, but they don't want to worry about, you know, that high failure rate. They want to do that like bowling with bumper lanes.
So you give us a call, reach out to us, and we'll call you, and then we'll send you an FDD, look over that, read it, fall asleep to it, it's very boring, and then we'll book a discovery day, and you come and you can spend a day or two with us to make sure that you actually like it, make sure your training dogs is something that you want to do.
So an FDD is a franchise disclosure document. It's a federally regulated document that goes into all the nitty-gritty details of what the franchise agreement entails.
So who would be a good fit to buy a Tip Top Canine would be somebody who loves dogs, who wants to work with dogs all day as their profession. You'll make a lot of money, you'll have a lot of fun, it's very rewarding. And who would not be a good fit is a cat person.
So the upfront cost for a Tip Top is $43,000. And a lot of people say they're generating doctor money, but on our disclosure, the numbers are anywhere from over $1 million a year in dog training, what our Oklahoma City location did last year, to $25,000-$35,000 a month.
To train and get trained by us for Tip Top Canine, to run your own Tip Top Canine, you would be with us for 6 weeks here in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
So we've been married for 7 years.
8 years.
8 years. So if you're watching this video, you're like, hey, maybe I want to be a dog trainer. Hey, that one sounds super amazing. Go to our website, tiptopcanine.com. Click on the yellow franchising tab, fill out the form, and Rachel and I will give you a call. Our Oklahoma City location last year, they did over $1 million. He's been running that shop for 3 years. Before, he was a youth pastor with zero sales experience, zero dog training experience before he ever met with us.
So just call us, come spend a day with us, spend a couple days with us, make sure you like training dogs, and own your own business.
Well, the biggest reason to buy a Tip Top Canine is so you own your own job and you own your own future and you don't hate your life. You get an enjoyable job that brings a lot of income but is really rewarding.
So isn't that nice, man? You guys, you can own a business. You can work with animals or work with dogs. I personally would love to do that. I wouldn't want to work with a cat, as if you guys follow me on TikTok. Or follow the Instagram, WESN Radio. You can see that I'm not a big fan of felines. And even though they love the attention from me, but they don't like too much attention. Because that drives them crazy. And they go on a cutting spree. But anyway, I wouldn't mind working with dogs like that, man. I hope you guys don't too. So if you guys want to do your own business or work, you know, for that company, give it a shot. Give it a shot. We need more of that around. And it's for a good cause for the dogs, man. Love me some dogs. But according to, I don't know if, well, it might help you. But I don't know how, you know, this venture is going to help with the current economy that we're having. And of course, the recession that is probably on its way or here or it's to come. Now, a lot of young people need some history lessons sometimes, right? Or they're just going to have to go through it. You're just going to have to go through it. And I found this clip from our good old buddy Rand Paul, who is not a saint whatsoever, right? But he does give some good pointers and what's to come on the recession, you know, and inflation. What does that really mean to us everyday individuals, right? And really try and teach the young generation this now. Let them be prepared, right? It's something that they need to go through. They need to know what it is to tighten up their belts or, you know, try to eliminate frivolous spending if you can, right? I don't know. Everybody's stuck on a different mindset, right? People are like, hey, but you're not going to take it with you when you go, right? You know, that's also true. But if it means room and, you know, shelter and food, you know, try and think before you do it, right? If you have a family, of course, you're going to have to think even more. If you're on your own, do what you want, right? Do it. You should, you know, you'll feel the effects of your decisions sooner or later, right? But hey, it all depends on you. So here is Rand Paul giving us a lesson on inflation and recession.
So price controls don't work, but the inflationary cycle of the 70s is back. It's the first time we've had it in 40 years, and it usually doesn't end well. Some say if you raise interest rates, you know, to stay ahead of the curve, that you might be able to stop it. We're way, way behind the curve. People talk about interest rates being sort of what the inflation rate is, or even ahead of the inflation rate. And so you can see we have essentially negative interest, you know. I mean, if you can borrow money for 3% and the inflation, you can pay them back with 8% depreciated dollars, who wouldn't just keep borrowing? And that leads more and more inflationary cycle, but then at some point there's a correction. If I knew when that correction was, I'd be as rich as all you guys, but I don't know exactly when it happens, but I think there will be a correction. Typically, inflationary cycles end with high interest rates, recession, and then high unemployment. And that's what we had in the early 1980s. Remember, interest rates went to 20, prime went 20, 21. I remember putting my lawn mowing money in money market rate and getting 18% in a money market fund in the late 70s, you know. I fear that's where we're headed. In order to fix a problem, you have to understand what caused the problem. And this is the problem we have in our society. I think most people truly know what causes it. But you've got people saying, well, I think it's greed. And the gas companies are just greedy. And my response to that is, did they just become greedy? They all of a sudden, all of them got together and decided to be greedy? Capitalism runs on self-interest. It's greed if it's your money. If it's my money, it's just self-interest. All that is name calling. So it's of no value, and it isn't a good explanation. You have to understand why demand went up everywhere. Why did it go up across all segments of the economy? Because we printed money. We just passed out money. We literally passed it out this time around. But inflation is basically a consequence of debt. So in the last 2 years, we added $6 trillion worth of debt. We've never added that much debt in our history. We added a lot during World War II, but we quickly rectified that actually after World War II. We've added $6 trillion, and now you have two competing interests in Washington. One interest says, oh, the way we get out of inflation is by printing up more money and giving it to you. And you quickly can spiral out of control. In Germany, when they had the hyperinflation in 1923, they would pay the workers 3 times a day because the workers demanded it because it would lose value by noon, by 3 o'clock, and by evening time. So you had to get it and go spend it as quick as you could. There came a time in Germany, post-World War I, where people had wheelbarrows full of money. I guess the moral of the story is you can't have something for nothing. What we did is we shut down the economy for the pandemic. We never should have done it. I'm convinced that we didn't save one life. I think the vaccine saves lives and natural immunity. I think everything else we did didn't do a thing. People can disagree with me. I just don't think it affected it at all. The virus goes in and around all the masks. It, plexiglass, none of that stuff works. Vaccine helps you keep you from dying and previous infection. That's it. Right now, 97% of us have immunity, either to the vaccine or to the disease. So that's why we're getting beyond this, and we just need to understand the next time this happens, you can't shut the economy down. We shut it down, and then we printed up boatloads of money and just passed it out in the form of direct checks to people. But you can't have something for nothing. What ends up happening is we're paying for it now, and inflation is the payment for the previous money we handed out. And the question is, could it get worse? Everybody says, oh, we're so much stronger than the rest of the world, it won't get worse. Maybe. I mean, people describe the dollar as, you know, the cleanest shirt in a closet full of dirty shirts. And the currencies are the dirty shirts, and we're the most wearable shirt of all the currencies. And that's true. But is there a point at which people would flee the dollar? I don't know. I think we need to understand that inflation is an increase in the money supply. We need to quit doing it. How do you do that? You got to quit digging the hole deeper and quit making and adding debt to our country. But nobody on the other side is saying that. The administration is currently saying it's greed or it's Putin. Now, there is some part of the gas price that is speculation and war, but it's more complicated than that. There's generalized inflation of everything. That affects gas. And then gas has also a reduction in supply. That's also affecting gas. We put all these rules on drilling. We closed Anwar. We aren't opening any pipelines. And then the third whammy is the war. So the war has something to do with it, but the gas hike isn't just not from all from the war. It's some from the war, but it's also generalized inflation. I think that's the biggest problem we face. I continue to try to be a fiscal steward and conservative of the money. Not always popular, but I think somebody's got to be. Just in the space of 3 weeks, we're going to spend $200 billion, all of it from Republicans and Democrats together. We spent $50 billion subsidizing the semiconductor business. I'm for developing a domestic semiconductor business, but I would have done it through tax credits. The difference between a tax credit and a subsidy is this. If you have a successful business, you can only get the tax credit if you make a profit. You have to be paying taxes. If I give you a subsidy, I might pick the wrong person. I just say, Steve should be a semiconductor person. I give him $100 million. Well, maybe he's not a good semiconductor person. But if you let the market work it out and I give him a tax credit, so I'm for tax credits to stimulate and help us, but I'm not for the direct subsidies. But that was $50 billion. Both Republicans and Democrats voted for that. Last week and this week is going to be $40 billion for Ukraine. I have a lot of sympathy for Ukraine, but we're borrowing the money from China to send it to Ukraine. Next week, they're going to do another $47 billion for restaurants. COVID's over. We don't have restrictions on restaurants, and even if we are sad about what it did to the restaurants, we don't have any money, you know, and we've already given out, I think we gave out $40 billion to restaurants. We've given out hundreds of billions to businesses that we harmed, but we can't just keep doing it. It's mostly Democrats, but the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's been both parties shoveling money out, and you know, it doesn't make me very popular up there, but I think there are still a number of people at home who want somebody to speak out against all the spending.
You need assistance with federal agents.
Sup, this is Mr. Steels, and when I drink my coffee in the morning, I listen to the Ralph William podcast.
Ven aquí tomas un cafecito con Wilito. Coffee with RW.
CaresNone.com. It's a clothing line. It's a lifestyle. Go to CaresNone.com. Check out their clothing line. It's fantastic. Use code DeGrayArea15 and you get 15% off. That's DeGrayArea15 and you get 15% off. CaresNone.com.
Oh, yeah.
Are you uncertain about what's going on in your life? Or maybe you're trying to help someone else out fix theirs? Then I recommend you go to wholeeshift.com. That's wholeeshift.com. W-H-O-L-E, another E, S-H-I-F-T.com. And get yourself a reading from Poetic. She's a Reiki healer and is very experienced in this area. So make sure to go to wholeeshift.com. Get yourself a reading today. Or you can get it as a gift card and give it to someone who might need it. That's wholeeshift.com. Let them know Ralph William sent you. That's holyshift.com.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee?
Coffee with RW.
Hey, are you looking for a company that provides welding services? You need to create a container home? Then look no further. Go check out HernandezMobileWelding.com. That's HernandezMobileWelding.com.
a licensed and insured welding company that is located in the Florida area. Make sure to give them a call at 954-347-4071. That's 954-347-4071. They are based out of Florida for all your welding needs. That's 954-347-4071. Hernandez Mobile Welding.